As we continue in worship, let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to read upon your word this day. May it enrich our lives. May we continue to grow in love of you and love of one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So today's scripture comes from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. So just a couple scriptures here, a couple verses. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I want to start off this morning by saying I'm no expert in finances. I like to look at finances and research finances, and I'm thinking about going and getting an MBA at some point, but I'm no expert in finances. However, as we're going through these next few weeks of stewardship and the scriptures that we'll be looking at, it makes a lot of sense, and all of it can make a difference in our lives. I think the goal of the next few weeks of stewardship is to create a consciousness within us about how we spend and save and give. It's a step of putting our lives in order to be joyous and happy and generous, no matter where we find ourselves financially, whether we feel like we're rich in finances or whether we feel like we're poor in finances. It helps us to create a consciousness of where we are and how we use our finances. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, had a saying that we are to gain all we can and save all we can and give all we can. And I think the American dream does really well at influencing us to gain all we can, but instead of saving and giving, the American dream also influences us to spend as much as we can. I heard a mother who saw her two-year-old boy swallow a nickel. She immediately ran over to him and started patting him on the back and turned him upside down and began to beat him on the back so that he would cough up that nickel. And the little boy ended up coughing up quarters. And so the mother kind of went into a panic and she yelled for her husband, who came running and said, "What happened?" And she said, "Well, he swallowed a nickel and he coughed up two quarters. What should I do?" And he said, "Keep feeding him nickels." There's a real danger of money and material possessions. Now, I know people don't like to hear about preaching about money, and if I preached about money as much as the Bible talked about money, well, I'd be preaching about it about every other week. Did you know that of the 39 parables in the Bible, that 11 of them, almost a third of them, dealt with a person's relationship with money and possessions? In fact, money and possessions is talked about more in the Bible than anything else in the scriptures except for the kingdom of God. We all have stuff. We all have things in our house, and we have so much stuff in our homes that our homes can't contain it, and so we put things in our attic. We fill our attic up, and once our attic is full, then we rent a storage shed, a storage facility that are now air-conditioned and so nice, and we put our stuff in there. And 9 times out of 10, we forget about what's in our storage shed because we never need it or use it. And so then instead of paying for continuing to use the storage shed, and instead of using the time that we have to go and sort through the stuff that we don't even know that we have anymore, we ended up, storage wars then takes over. You know, the Bible nowhere condemns well-earned, deserved financial prosperity. It's no crime to be wealthy. And Jesus is not condemning stuff. Most of the stuff we have, maybe we need. couches, appliances, things that remind us of our personal history, memories, things that fill our home can be useful. Jesus is pointing us, though, to a greater purpose for our lives than just accumulating as much as we can put into our homes. In Luke, another gospel, a couple of chapters away, in 12 through 13 through 21, we see a farmer who's produced so much crops that he doesn't know what to do with all his crops that he's accumulated. And so he thought to himself, well, since I have no room for my crops, I'll just tear down my barn and build a bigger barn to store my crops. And there I'll store my crops and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. You know, you can just take it easy, eat, drink, be merry. The farmer's actions are directed towards himself. Not once does he think about, well, what can I give to someone else? 11 times in the scripture, it talks about I or my, myself. His problem is filled with covetousness. His life is filled with earthly things. They and they alone fill his soul. In his abundance, he thinks he has a space problem, but Jesus points out that he has a soul problem. In his mind, the action is required is not sharing in his abundance, but building new barns to store it all. Going down to the storage shed. I've been with many people in their last moments of life. In Harlingen, I think I did about 60 funerals in 4 years. Done funerals in all of the different places I've served, of course. And all the times that I've met with people in their last moments of life, they talk about their family. They talk about trips they've gone on. They talk about favorite scriptures or hymns that they even in dementia, memorize and can sing along. They talk about stories that have influenced their life over the years. In all those last moments of meeting with people, I can't recall a time in those last moments when they talked about the things that they had acquired on earth. It reminds us that when we die, we're not taking anything with us. And yet the majority of the population is spent most of the time of accumulating things. You see, when we seek possessions as the ultimate goal of life, possessions turn around and possess us. There's an old fable of a fly and a fly trapper that illustrates this point. The strip of fly paper looked so appeasing to the fly that the fly decided to claim it for himself. And after chasing away all the other insects that threatened to share his find, he landed on the fly paper and happily announced, "My fly paper." And then he proceeded to take part of the tasty feast he found there. And when he tried to walk around, he couldn't walk any longer and he found himself stuck. And then he tried to fly away and he couldn't fly away and he became exhausted and he gave up. And then the flypaper proudly exclaimed, "My fly. My fly." I came across a book when we travel, we like to go in bookstores. And so I came across a book last week. It's called The Wealth Money Can't Buy by Robin Sharma. I didn't buy the book, but I'll probably purchase it and use it throughout the weeks to follow. But I looked through the book quickly, and I looked at the different chapters and the different subtitles under the chapters, and the 8 things that he mentions in the book that help us to live our richest life are growth, personal growth, wellness, family, craft, money, community, adventure, and service. I was surprised that money was one of the things, but as I looked at the subtitles under money, they were, why do I do it if it doesn't make me happy? See another's winning as your victory. Be a highly humble leader, and greedy is not happy. There were a couple other subtitles under money, but I found it interesting that nowhere in that title or chapter did it talk about our personal winnings. Friends, I can't guarantee that each of us will die rich, will live rich, but I can guarantee that if we put our money and our time in the proper place and proper perspective, that if we live by the mantra that it's better to give than receive, that God has blessed us to be a blessing towards others, that we'll all die rich. Being truly generous is a call for each of us to be present as a human being and a member of society. God desires us to give extravagantly, as he showed us in giving his son for each one of us. He wants us to be difference makers. He wants us to make a lasting impact for years to come. He wants us to know that he loves us and that there's always enough. As we were eating dinner the other night, there was a quote by George Alexio. It said, "Success follows those who champion a cause greater than themselves." I think that means that we do things, that we live a purpose that money and rust, moths can't touch. Things that are bigger than ourselves. Not things that we store up for ourselves. May it be so for each one of us individually and as a community of Northwest Hills United Methodist Church and as the United Methodist Church across the world. Let us pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your scripture for us for today. We thank you for the call to live beyond ourselves in a way that moth and rust can't touch, a way that is bigger than ourselves and what we could ever dream or imagine. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.